Hey, good morning. Welcome into In Focus on News Radio KMAN, celebrating 70 years of locally owned radio. We are also discussing a lot of topics in the news right now, and a lot of that happening at our local government level. And we're going to be talking Manhattan City Commission this hour with City Manager Ron Fear and Mayor Yusha Reddy, both joining us via Zoom. First of all, good morning to you, Mayor Reddy.
Good morning, Brandon. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. And City Manager Fear, thanks for joining us.
Absolutely. Thank you, Brandon. It's always good to be with you.
Absolutely. There's no shortage of going on right now here in the news. And we'll start right here with the coronavirus pandemic, which has dominated our news here for the last several months now. And we see the return of students back into classes here, K-State, and then, of course, the local school districts will be getting going here within the next several days. And I know, Mayor Reddy, there was you posted some images over the weekend here on social media. We saw some crowds gathering in Aggieville, and just kind of wanted to kind of start there and kind of get your reaction on kind of what you saw.
Sure. First of all, I want to say it's not unusual for any elected official, whether they be city commissioners or county or state representatives, to just go around, observe what's going on in their community. And, you know, we go around looking at potholes, construction sites. If it's Fake Patty's Day, we all go and, you know, check out what's going on for Fake Patty's Day. And if it's a nuisance ordinance and things like that. So it's not unusual for elected officials to go around to regular public events, but also do things that pertain to city ordinances or any other concerns the community may have. And Brian and I have always done this. It's not just because of the pandemic. We always go out to events or just go around town seeing what's going on. So that's how I can stay in touch and see what else we need to improve in our community. So that piece is not unusual. Just like I said, for Fake Patty's Day, we all do this. So as students were coming back, even during our regular drives, and I've always told, you know, our city manager, anything I've seen, whether it's with baseball tournaments or any other games or events or anything that's happening, I've always talked to him about how we can do things a little bit better during this pandemic period. So that's not unusual. I think what was unusual about this particular circumstance is K-State had put in a plan to slowly start having students come back to campus so that everybody's not coming in at once, which is a, you know, which was a really good plan. And as we were driving around, we saw, you know, students having house parties and things, students being students, you know, that's why they're here. They've missed each other, lawn parties, all kinds of gatherings happening in Aggieville and outside of Aggieville. So this isn't an Aggieville thing. This is just what students do, socialize. Thursday night in particular, you know, we were going, we were just driving, and then we decided to get out of the car and just walk. You know, Aggieville's not that big, so we were just walking. And then I saw all of these things that were going against the order number 17 as far as seating at the bar or crowds or 6 feet apart, whatever it might be. So I just took a few pictures and sent them off to a few people that are decision makers for the orders, because I didn't know what the enforcement policy is. So I decided maybe they will take it upon themselves once they see the pictures. But there wasn't much enforcement piece there. So I went out again and did the same thing on Friday. And I thought things might change on Friday, or somebody else might be walking and maybe looking out for these, if to see if these orders were being implemented. But again, that wasn't happening. So my frustration is what drove me to put the pictures on Facebook. It's out of character for me. It's not something I typically do, but I felt I don't know what the enforcement system is. I don't know if it's PD. I don't know if it's the local health officer. I don't know if it's the county attorney. I don't know. I don't know who it is. But after so many failed pieces were there, students are here. They're going to enjoy themselves. We want them to have a good time. But we also have to be sure some of the requirements and the orders are being followed, because it doesn't just impact the university, if the university has a spike of increased positive cases and they choose to go all online, let's say, I don't know, by September or whatever it might be, if you're 18 years or older, you're probably, you know, adequate and capable of going to an online class and continuing your education. But the increase will be mostly impacting our K-12. A first grader can't just go online and take instruction from their first grade teacher. So the university is one component of it, but if we don't think about how those percentage increase positives impact K-12, we're in a whole lot of trouble. So that's the bigger picture. When I put that out there, that's my role as a city commissioner, as elected official, as mayor for the city, to take care of the entire community and look out for them. I have nothing to gain from this, but we do have a lot to lose. There are a lot of businesses doing the right thing, but the few that may not be adhering to these orders are going to shut down not only K-State University, which will still go on, but K-12. And that's going to impact our parents if they have to go home and start working from home and start teaching. I was a first grade teacher for a long time. I had 3 kids in my home. I can't even imagine teaching my first graders online while trying to educate my middle school and high school student children at home. So I think that that's the piece that I'm extremely concerned about. And that's what prompted me to do what I did. But I feel that's my role. And I don't mind making people angry. I don't mind if that's where they're at. But let's look at the big picture, because if we don't do something now, our community is not going to survive. So I'm hoping if we're not going to enforce anything that's in any of the local health orders, let's just phase out. Let's just phase out and say everything's good to go. Because right now there isn't anything. The 2 citations that were given to a couple of the bars were for face mask ordinances. Those were city ordinances. So if we didn't have even a face mask ordinance, even those 2 citations would not have happened. So that's a concern for me, and it should be a concern for everybody. If we want to keep this community moving, we need to take these precautions seriously and make sure we understand what the process is. If you see something that's wrong, who's walking those streets? Who's going to visit those bars to see if anybody's in compliance? Because there's a lot of businesses that are doing the right thing that are going to get punished for the few that aren't. And that's what we need to think about. And we want K-12 to stay open. They haven't even opened yet. They're going to start next week. We don't want them to transition to full online courses. That's not a good place for children to be. That's why that happened.
Mayor Eddy, you mentioned 2 citations. I've only heard of the one. Where was the second one at?
I don't know. I heard it from a couple of people. I haven't seen it on the RCPD citation, so I'm not sure where it happened. I've just heard word that it did. So to clarify, I don't know exactly where it is. I'm here. I heard it from 3 different people that there was a second citation, but I don't have clear information about where or who.
Okay. Well, are you surprised that, and I don't know, I don't want to generalize all the bar owners here, but are you surprised that there's not more, proactivity coming from some of these bar owners, maybe not having just somebody outside and screening who's coming in and out?
Well, I think, you know, it's not just on bar owners. You know, one of the things we do as officials is we have rules, whether it's a speeding rule, whether it's a smoking ordinance, whatever it is, we have rules. And there's always going to be people that might not abide by them. And then you have an enforcement process. Here, sure, bars, you know, may choose to have more people come in and let's just see what happens kind of thing. Well, if there are no consequences, you are rewarding the behavior. So then what's the point? Businesses are in the business to make a profit. They're doing what they need to do for revenue. If we have ordinances or health orders in place, who is enforcing those? I don't know. And that's the problem. So that, you know, Kansas State University is requiring face masks. I went around the university yesterday. Yeah, all the students are doing a wonderful job. Even in their classrooms, they're wearing them. So they want to have in-person classes. They want to be here. And we are hoping that everybody else will follow some of those precautions. I'm just frustrated because I don't know. When I send pictures or when there's a complaint going, people say, the ones I send it to usually say it's after the fact, it's too late, whatever it is. Well, then how is any of this going to be enforced? And if it's not, then why bother having a health order?
You know, it's curious too, with what we saw this weekend with those photos and then the Raleigh County Commission's announcement yesterday to lift the 2,000 person capacity to welcome fans back at K-State football games. I'm curious what power the city of Manhattan has in this, because the stadium itself is in the city proper.
Yeah, I think we're going to look at some things, but to me, this is, again, another frustration. A 25% capacity at the football stadium, they may be able to control it really well, and I trust that they will in their stadium. It's what happens when those 12,000 folks come back into the community. We can't just think these are 12,000 students. These are 12,000 people that are going to come from not only Kansas, other counties in Kansas, but throughout the United States, because several of them are alumni that are just going to travel back and forth. So that's one piece of it. The other piece is when our football players go to University of Texas or Oklahoma or wherever they go, even if they have a 25% capacity in their stadium, that's probably 50,000 in their stadium. So 12,000 is probably on the low end for Kansas State University, but in other universities, their 25% is going to be a larger capacity for spectators. So people are going to be spreading the virus all over the place. So we need to have a plan on what to do, and we don't. We don't have a plan. So that's what we need to work on. What are we going to do differently? Doing nothing is not going to be an option. Thinking like, yeah, young kids will get the virus, they're going to survive, they're going to be okay. That's fine if that's what you want to think. But if our percentage positive keeps going up, USD 383 has a threshold of when they're going to go students completely online. And to me, that's a very meaningful statement to listen to. Everybody might survive. Everybody's going to be fine. No, nobody's going to die. Nobody's going to get hospitalized. But that percent positive is going to shut down our K-12 schools.
We have a caller here with a question or a comment. We'll get to them next. Good morning. You're on In Focus.
Yes, good morning. I have a question about the apartment complexes where they're hosting parties in their parking lots, just literally a half block from campus. Last night, I observed one that was going on. There were probably 50 or 60 people. They had tables set up. It's not easily seen from the Anderson Avenue street. So who's in charge of policing, if you want to use that word, that group of people?
Yeah, I think that's a great question, and I wish I had an answer. That's okay. My frustration.
Right. I guess that's what I'm feeling, that this is very complicated and yet concerning, again, if you have children or grandchildren that will be in especially the elementary grades, and wondering how this is all going to play out for their schooling. But anyway, I'll hang up and listen.
Yeah, thanks for the question. And I know it's not just RCPD. I think K-State Police can enforce the mask ordinance too, if I'm not mistaken. But yeah, maybe it's just not being done to the extent that some would like to see it.
The mask ordinance, yeah, they can. I think her frustration is the gatherings. Mm. If you remember, the football players contracted the virus just from playing video games among four people. So here it's, you know, you can have four people gatherings, 50 people, 2,000 people, 12,000 people. With each capacity, as that increases, the virus spreads. It's extremely contagious. So it's us against the virus. And right now the virus is going to be winning. Hmm. So I think her question is, if the health order said 50 people and you need a permit, so what happens if you don't have a permit and you still have a 50, 60, 70,000, you know, 70 people gathering? What happens? I don't know the answer to that question.
All right. Well, let's take a break. We'll come back more with Mayor Reddy and City Manager Ron Fear here on In Focus, News Radio KMAN.